The Tomb of Jesus by Robert C. Newman. Brief abstract. A response to the recent book and Discovery Channel documentary that claims a tomb found in 1980 is the family tomb of Jesus of Nazareth, including his remains. The claims and their implications are examined, followed by responses centering primarily on the inscription on the bone boxes found in the tombs, found in the tomb. The Tomb of Jesus, on March 4th, 2007, the Discovery Channel broadcast their documentary entitled The Lost Tomb of Jesus, in association with the publication of the book, The Jesus Family Tomb, by Simcha Jakubovici and Charles Pellegrino. They reported the 1980 discovery of a tomb in Talpiot, a southeast suburb of Jerusalem, which contained 10 bone boxes, six of which had names inscribed on them. The inscriptions on these bone boxes were, number one, Yeshua bar Yehoseph, that is, Jesus, son of Joseph, Maria, Mary, Matia, Matthew, Yoseh, a shortened form of Joseph, Mariamne e Mara, Mariamne or Mara, the presenters claim it means Mariamne, the Lord, and Yehuda bar Yeshua, Judah, son of Jesus. The claims concerning these inscriptions are these. The authors Simcha Jakubovici and Charles Pellegrino claim that this is the family tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. His remains were interred in bone box number one. Box two contained his mother Mary. Box three was probably a relative, possibly the apostle Matthew. Box four was Jesus' father or brother. Box five was Jesus' wife, Mary Magdalene. And box six was their son Judah, equal to the apostle Thomas. Well, if the identifications of the remains interred in these boxes are correct, especially number one, then the Christian teachings of the physical resurrection and ascension of Jesus are mistaken, and to Jesus married and had children, at least one. The real question, of course, is, are these identifications correct? So, let's look at arguments for this being Jesus' tomb. The first argument is that the inscriptions are authentic, as the site was excavated by professional archaeologists. Secondly, a statistical calculation of the probability that this combination of names occurred by chance was given as only one chance in 600. So the authors conclude the chances are 600 to 1 that this is the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. Three, the famous James ossuary, which was in the news a few years back, is actually the 10th box found here, but it was stolen and sold on the antiquities market. Tests of the patina on this box that they claim is the 10th one, and the box in the boxes in the tomb here match, they say. Four, DNA testing was done on bone fragments found in boxes 1, Jesus, and 5, Mariamne. The two individuals are shown to be unrelated. The book claims that they were thus husband and wife. So, that's a quick tour of the claims, the arguments for this being Jesus' tomb. Some responses to these arguments. First, the inscriptions do seem to be authentic, but the crucial inscription number one is by far the most difficult one to decipher. This is the inscription on box six. For anyone who can read traditional Hebrew, this is clearly Yehuda bar Yeshua, Judah, son of Jesus, which looks like that in a little more modern Hebrew font. Hmm? This is the inscription on box five. It is much less deeply engraved, and some of the letters are sloppy, but it is readable Greek for the most part. It looks like Mariamne, and then some stuff that's undeciphered, and then Mara at the end. Here's a closer shot of inscription number 5. And on this one, you can see the, I'll just use English letters here, M-A-R-I-M-N-A. And then there is something between the end of that and the beginning of Mara, which starts over where the deep mark is, M-A-R-A. There's what that something is. If we take the circled portion above to be a chi, eta and the word for and in Greek chi, instead, then the inscription is exactly parallel to Acts 13:9, where a masculine form of this construction connects two names, Saul, who is also called Paul. We would then have Miriam, so the A disappears into this middle form, who is also called Mara, and the name Miriamne disappears. Another alternative would be to put the Ada, the H, with the first name, giving Miriamne as the first name, and then the Chi would indicate there were two sets of bones in this ossuary, those of Miriamne and Mara. Let's go look at inscription 1. This is the inscription on box 1. Here's the detail of inscription 1, with the contrast increased and the picture brightened. The last word, Yehoseph, is reasonably clear. The word bar is readable, but the first name is arguable because of extra lines through it. Some have even suggested that it should be read Hanun. Here's a sketch of the detail of number 1. an outline of the box 1 inscription prepared by Steve Caruso of Aramaic Designs. This part would be the Yehoseph, and the only complication there would be the little horizontal line there that's circled. This would be bar, and that would also have an extra line, the one with the ellipse around it, that doesn't seem to fit too well. This would be Yeshua, and in spite of that being somewhat strange looking, that does work fairly well. There we are. And then this sort of thing out here at the front would be rather uncertain. Could it be an Aleph? Could it be a X? A Tau? What? Well, what is this X? Jacobovici and Pellegrino claim this is a cross tilted to represent Jesus carrying it. That seems to me to be something of a stretch. Some have suggested it's a mason's mark, which is sometimes used on ossuaries to align the lid with the bottom. That again seems a little peculiar to me, since they put it so close to the name on the box. Its close connection with the name suggests it might be an Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew Aramaic alphabet, or it might alternatively be a Tav, the last letter. Well, if this is an Aleph or a Tav, then the name may be something other than Jesus. The name would begin with Ish or Tish instead of Yish. So far, no known name has been found to match the available letters, so in our discussion that follows, we will go with this being Jesus. Now, the probabilities are questionable. There are 10 bone boxes, so at least 10 individuals are represented in the tomb. Since number 4, Yosa, might be the father mentioned in number 1, he shouldn't be counted twice in the probabilities. Mary is the commonest female name among Jews at this period, occurring 21.3% of the time, based on counts of these sorts of things. Among the male names, Joseph is the second commonest male name at 8.3%, Judah fourth at 6.2%, and Jesus, Yeshua, sixth at 3.8%. So, in a tomb with 10 boxes, assuming for sake of argument that 4 are female and 6 are male interments, given that one name is Jesus, what are the chances that he's a son of Joseph and that the tomb also contains a Mary? Well, that the father is Joseph is equal to the probability of Joseph, namely 0.083. That one of the inheritors of Mary, probability of Mary, equals 1, total probabilities, minus 1 minus 0.213 times to the fourth. And essentially you're saying, well, we've got four chances. What are the chances that it's not a Mary each of those times? And that gives you 1 minus 0.384. So the probability that one of the interred females would be a Mary is 0.616. The probability then of both this Joseph and Mary is 0.083 times 0.616, which gives us 0.0511, a little over one chance in 20. Since there have already been 22 ossuaries found with Jesus on them, Yeshua on them, this combination should not be surprising. Since we have no evidence Jesus of Nazareth had a son named Judah, nor a close relative named Matthew, these do not figure in our calculation. What about Mariamne, or Miriam, if our suggested reading is adopted? Well, she might well be, since the DNA rules out a sister, a wife of any of the males in the tomb, Jesus, Yosa, Matthew, Judah, or an unnamed male in one of the other boxes. What about Mary Magdalene? Though Mary Magdalene was a close follower of Jesus of Nazareth, there is no evidence that either Mary Magdalene or Jesus was married to each other or to anyone else. Jacobovici and Pellegrino try to make Mary Magdalene the sister of Philip in the apocryphal Acts of Philip. But Philip is from Bethsaida, not from Magdala. And Philip's sister, according to the Acts of Philip, does not die until after AD 98, which is nearly 30 years after Jerusalem is destroyed and all these secondary burials with ossuaries came to an end. That is at 70 with the destruction of Jerusalem. What about the James ossuary? The patina tests do show a real similarity between the James ossuary and those from Jesus' tomb, but more work is needed to see on how unusual such a similarity might be. Meanwhile, the owner of the James ossuary claims he got it before 1980, when the Jesus tomb was discovered. Amos Cloner, who supervised the 1980 dig, says the missing 10th ossuary was unmarked, unlike the James ossuary. What about the DNA testing? Well, DNA was only tested from boxes 1, Jesus, and box 5, Mariamne, Miriam, whatever. They show that Jesus and Mariamne do not share a common mother. It does not show that they were married, as any tomb containing members of an extended family will contain a number of spouses who are in-laws, not blood relatives. It would be of interest to do DNA testing on bone fragments from the other ossuaries in the tomb, but since we don't know the DNA of Jesus of Nazareth, it's hard to see how this would be of any earth-shaking interest. So, conclusions. Well, we've not brought in much of the evidence from the canonical Gospels, the biblical Gospels, since it was their veracity which was questioned. Jacobovici and Pellegrino, like many today, are exceedingly skeptical about the canonical Gospels, which certainly date from the first century, and exceedingly gullible about the New Testament apocryphal Gospels, which date from the second century or later. The canonical Gospels testify that the tomb of Jesus was empty by the morning of the third day, and that he personally appeared to hundreds of people in the following month or so. As Paul points out, the Christian faith rests upon Jesus' bodily resurrection. The family of Jesus would not have been well off enough to afford a tomb such as the one discovered in 1980, at least until Christianity had been going for a while. The case for Jesus' messiahship was based on his resurrection from the dead. Do you think his family, some of whom were significant figures in the early Christian movement, would have inscribed his name on a bone box so that anyone who entered their family tomb could see it? I think it is clear that the Jesus of this tomb is not Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's the end of our brief discussion here, but I fear we will see many more of these kinds of suggestions in the years ahead.